was like 74% of all Android. I mean, that's a big percentage right there.
Well, yeah, 74% of Android users are vulnerable to this particular attack. They, over a million accounts have been hacked, but potentially up to 74%. And the reason, because it finds the vulnerabilities in the older versions of Android, and there are so many of them still out there because of the nature of the Android marketplace, where a lot of users can't upgrade to the latest and greatest. So if you've got, you know, ice cream sandwich or jelly bean or Kit Kat or lollipop, which is, you know, there's that's 74% of the market, you're potentially vulnerable to this.
If you use the internet, then you face serious threats to your privacy and constitutional rights. George Orwell 2084 is a show like no other. It's time to fight back. Here he is, David Bowron.
Well, if you own an Android phone, chances are you have malware on it. You've been hacked recently by Gooligan hackers. And this is how it's worked. These hackers, they name themselves Gooligan. They have scored the largest ever theft of Google accounts by hacking into 1 million Google Android phones, hitting them with malware that gives them direct access to approximately 74% of all Android phones. So what happened here? A new variant of Android malware is responsible for what's believed to be the biggest single theft of Google accounts on record. It's huge. The so-called Gooligan strain has affected as many as 1.3 million, this is to date now, Android phones just over the last few months. And it's growing, by the way. Completely prising the devices, open and stealing the tokens users are given to verify they are authorized to access their accounts. All right, so if they steal your token, they have control of your device. That's what I'm saying there. Its main aim, though, is not to pilfer all that data in Gmail or your documents, but to force users into downloading apps as part of a massive advertising fraud scheme. You ready for these figures? They're making over $300,000 a month, and that's growing. The figure's expected to grow. I mean, who knows what it'll be in a month from now or 2 months and so forth. So today we're going to discuss this new threat to your security and what to do about it with our guest, Kerry Parker, on George Orwell 2084.
Today you face serious threats to your freedoms, such as data collection and weak security by using free email accounts, unwarranted surveillance and cyber crimes. Ransomware, malware, and a host of other viruses are constantly attacking. Privacy of your online data is freedom. For pennies on the dollar, you can prepare now before it's too late. You too can use the same strength of protection that even Swiss banks are using. Begin today and start regaining your online privacy. Solutions for homes and businesses are found by visiting privacyabroad.com.
And this Gooligan virus, this malware, it's spreading at an amazing rate. It's an alarming rate. Since the start of just the past month here, it's been racking up an average of 13,000 new infections a day. You think about it like somebody has the flu and there's, you know, they're passing around. That's how you have to look at this hack here. And all of them, all viruses, it is what they are. A virus, whether it's physical and you're sick and you pass it to other people, it's the same exact thing when it comes to these infections in your phone. It's easily transmitted into other devices, and because of this, because they have attacked the apps, third-party apps, it's simple. It spreads by a user downloading those apps. So 13,000 new infections per day. And that's according to researchers from Checkpoint, by the way. The malicious software first gained a foothold on devices when users visit a website and download these third-party apps. And Michael Shalov, he's the head of mobile and cloud security Checkpoint, said that might be a bad, like a site that, you know, gambling, pornography, those kind of sites, or a third-party app store where visitors are encouraged to download software to get access to the content. Okay, so who's affected here? All right, let's go through this a little bit. Once it's downloaded, there's all kinds of apps that have this virus, all right? And we're going to give you where to find them, the website. In our interview, we're going to give you all this. So once it's downloaded, this Gooligan determines which Android phone it's affected and launches inappropriate exploits to root the device, and meaning take complete control over it. All right. To do that, the attackers have used long-known vulnerabilities, such as what's called vroot and towelroot, on devices running Android 4 through 5, including Jelly Bean, and you'll know these terms if you have an Android, KitKat, and Lollipop. All right, those who it's affecting. Together, those operating systems account for 74%, that's where that figure comes in, of Android devices in use today, totaling around over 1 billion Androids in the world. Here's where the infections took place around the world. Most infections, 40%, are in Asia, nearly 20% in America. Another 12% based in Europe. So once this Gooligan has control over the phone, the victim's Google account token is siphoned off to a remote server and can be used to gain access to their Gmail, their documents, their Drive, photos, and other data, even where two-factor authentication is turned on. I mean, understand that. I mean, that is a pretty sophisticated malware here. And you understand two-factor authentication. When you log into a website, for those of you that don't use it and maybe need to understand this, because it is good to have, when you log into a website, some companies make it optional. Some make it required that you use two-factor authentication, meaning when you're logging in, you enter your password, this company or this website will then send you another PIN to your phone, for example. You'll get a PIN on your phone that you'll then have to put into the website to then gain entry into there. So this Gooligan, when it has control, it's bypassing the two-factor authentication, even when it's turned on. I mean, that's scary stuff right there. Because that's your guard against, you know, making certain that you're logging in securely. Well, now it doesn't matter because of this this malware. That's why we're going through this thing. This is dangerous stuff. Checkpoint's researchers were able to trace that server, uncovering a stash of 1.3 million real Google accounts. Looking at server logs, you know, they were able to determine as many as 30,000 apps. Here's the problem: were being downloaded every day by infected phones, reaching a total of 2 million users so far. You know, included in that figure, thousands of businesses are affected by this. Google accounts have been hit too, Checkpoint warned. So, is this a problem? You bet it is. Previous multi-million leaks of Google accounts have proven false, most notably in 2014, when just 2% of 5 million allegedly real logins leaked on the dark web turned out to work on active accounts. And then in 2016, when only 460,000 of 23 million published online were deemed legitimate. Well, this one's legitimate. This is a massive hack here that is, you know, look, it's about money with these hackers. They want to steal money. This is an advertising fraud scheme, and that's how they're doing it. So whoever's behind the attack is rapidly expanding this big advertising fraud campaign. The attackers have forced victims to download and give positive reviews to apps on Google Play. Because as you know, the more positive your reviews are, the more business you're going to have. Inevitably, that's what happens. Better reviews equal better business. Okay, simple rule of thumb there. And then provides this revenue stream, as the hackers also run advertisements within the applications. That's how they're doing it. So every download and every click on the ad adds a small amount to the attacker's coffers. And this business model, by the way, it was similar to another group dubbed Humming Bad. And they come up with these words, hummingbird, and then they change bird to bad. I mean, that's what it is. Humming Bad. It was discovered this past February this year. And the Chinese cyber criminals behind Humming Bad made about the same amount, about $320,000 a month with that one initiative. And so here we are, these Gooligan crooks. They're earning just as much as this other scheme, Humming Bad, is. And it's growing, though. So there's no telling how it's going to increase from this point into next year. So this is what you need to know. Gooligan is a variant of an old piece of malware known as Ghost Push that Google has been fighting in earnest for about a year now. So you're talking, you know, it's not like, you know, you just, oh, we got a virus, let's call our IT guy. And the IT guy gets on and says, okay, man, I need about, this is a tough one. I need about 2 hours, I'll have this thing, you know, and then they go to work, maybe all day. I gotta take care of it all day long. And they're typing away on the computer, and you don't really know what they're doing. And then by the end of the day, they report to their boss, they're like, hey, great news, man. It's off. We're good. We're good to go. No, this is something they've been fighting for 12 months. Just to give you to put things in perspective here. This is an ongoing battle, and it's affecting everybody. It's affecting all of us, every user out there. And we need to do our part to protect ourselves, and that's what we're doing on this show, giving you the information, explaining it to you so you know what's going on, okay? And then giving you some solutions that you could have and put into place for yourself. Let's see here. Google said it was the most successful Android malware of 2015, this Ghost Push. And it had an infecting about 4 million phones in various forms. It, you know, it's just like, you know, people, then the phone companies, they don't really don't care. Okay, so let me just go down this trail for a minute with you. They really don't care, because inevitably what happens is your phone, it starts just not working correctly. All right, and then what happens is you go into any of the Verizon, T-Mobile, any of them, doesn't matter. And you go in there and say, like, my phone just it's not, you know, it doesn't seem to be working like it used to. Well, you have an old operating system. You have an old phone, it's a couple years old. You know, you need to upgrade. So all they care about, really, truthfully, this is what they care about, selling you a new phone, okay? So it's just a vicious cycle that's going on here. Your phone's infected. It starts not behaving right. And then you go in and now you end up with a new phone until you download the next app. That messes that up too. And worse yet, hackers have your information. Okay? So let's not discredit that, because that's the truth of the matter is right there. This security firm, Cheetah Mobile Security, said three different versions of this Ghost Push were propagating at a rate of 10,000 installs per day. So you can see how fast these are. So in compared to this Gooligan hackers, their escapades date back to at least June of 2015. However, when the first evidence of the malware code was found, Checkpoint saw Android phones infected with this malicious software contained early Gooligan code when they when physically connected to PCs running a Windows backup tool named SnapP. So, I mean, they were starting to see this, but it wasn't widespread until recently. So these attackers used multiple exploits and forced downloads on users' devices in last year's attacks, but they hadn't pilfered Google account logins like they have now. Okay, so you see how what's happening. Really, I'm explaining this to you is understand how they evolve. Okay, so they find the malware, and then this goes back a while back. And then it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And now, now they have access to Google account logins. They're bypassing two-step authentication and so forth. After finding Google again, that's the past months, and noting its alarming success rate, Checkpoint and Google formed a task force to deal with the threat. Checkpoint today released a free tool to check for infection. We're going to give you that upcoming here shortly. So in a blog post, it also provided a list of apps containing the malicious Gooligan code. But as this continues here, we have to understand it's about money, once again. The increase in unknown malware hits per hour, we're seeing a 900% increase per hour, okay? It's alarming because it's continuing to rise. Unknown malware continues to rise. The reason being, it's successful. If something's successful, that's why the criminals continue to do it, right? They're not getting caught. They're making money, so they continue to do this stuff. It's rising over 900% per hour, and that equates for 970 downloads per hour, compared to the same time last year, 106. Substantial. Known and unknown malware, bots, and mobile vulnerabilities. And that's what it's encompassing, and all that stuff right there. And it's exposing not just individuals, but businesses and enterprises as well. You've got to understand, this is not going away here. It's not going away. They're going to continue to do this as long as it's successful. And it is. It's extremely successful. That's why, it's continuing to grow the way it's growing here. And it's malicious software. And, you don't want a cyber criminal, simply put here, you don't want a cyber criminal to remotely control your computer, execute illegal activities such as stealing data, spreading spam, and distributing malware. That's what you don't want. Obviously. No, but who wants this, right? No one does. I don't know anybody says, I don't really care. I'm just going to use my device and, and then when it just doesn't work anymore, I'll just go and spend $700 and extend my contract to the phone company another 3 years or 2 years, whatever. It's just a vicious cycle that has to end. Once and for all, right? It's got to end. And so we're going to be going through some techniques. Obviously, the obvious one here is to not download third-party apps. But, you take a family. You take a family of five. You got three kids. Two of them are teenagers. One's 12. They're all downloading apps. And so you got to put your foot down. Okay, no third-party apps, but they're really good on devices. And so even if you block that in the settings and you block it so they can't, they'll unblock it and download it. So it's very hard to control, especially with a family. It's a little bit easier with a business and organization. As you're supplying a phone, you have a little bit more control over that. And they're adults instead of teenagers, and they should listen to you at least, right? You would think. And they know that how serious this could be to the business organization. So let me talk to you about that a minute here. Understand this, that as these viruses, malware, continue to grow, it can have an adverse effect on your business and your organization. You've got to take control. If you're providing your sales executives or anybody in your organization or business with a phone, you have to be in charge of that. And you just have to put your foot down and say, no apps unless they are first screened by our department, our IT team, if it's outsourced, whatever. Someone in the corporation, that knows about this, that has studied it, and that has the list of all the apps, and it's a growing list. So they may have it today, and that's all fine dandy, but they've got to be updating it every couple of days or every week at least to see, hey, which ones these apps, which apps we need to stay clear of. And really, it's a simple practice for a business organization. Stay clear of them all. You don't need them on the phone. You're using your phone to make business phone calls in that environment, not play solitary. I know it's tough. Sometimes you just don't have anything to do. But, it's for business and to be used that way. And it could save your business, if you're a business owner organization, a lot of heartache and expense. Okay, because that's what it gets down to, is expense. If you're having to replace phones, and go through that, and you're troubleshooting all the time, and it's taking your time to do this, it's time to put your foot down. Okay? Not only that, but we have mentioned this on previous shows, that it also becomes a huge problem with any type of phishing emails that you may be getting in your organization. I mean, understand something. Just be cautious. I'm going to run down a little list here, and then we're going to get to our interview. Be cautious of all links. So if you get an email or notification from a site that you find suspicious, just don't click on it. Just don't be, curiosity killed the cat, right? So we're just curious people. We just got to see. It looks like it'd be fine, and I kind of want to see how it is. Don't do that. Just don't do it. It's better to type the website's address, if you're real curious, directly into a browser than clicking on a link. So before you ever click a link, hover over it with your mouse to see where it is going to take you. It's a simple technique. Okay, just take your mouse, hover over it, and it'll tell you where it's going. If the destination isn't what the link claims, obviously don't click on. But even if it is and you don't know, don't click on it, okay? Do an online search. So if you get a notification about something that seems fishy, like this stuff we're talking about, you should do an online search on the topic, all right? If it's a scam, there are probably people online complaining about it already, and you can find out more information. So people are like, I download this app, and now I'm having all these problems. You could find something real easy. Obviously, do an online search using DuckDuckGo. That's a private search engine. I often give this advice, do DuckDuckGo. I'm trying to program you to use private and secure search engines opposed to Google and Yahoo, okay? Also, phishing scams, you got to watch for typos. This still takes place in these. They're infamous for having these typos. If you receive an email or notification from a reputable company, it should not contain typos. Pretty simple. We talked about the two-step authentication, this Google hack, Google Android hack, and how they were able to bypass it, but always still use multi-level authentication. So when available, you should use this. It's not always available. It's kind of surprising, right? I mean, I know some big companies, and they just don't use it. And I'm like, why? And they're successful. I know they're making money. And I'm like, why in the world wouldn't they use it? You know what you have to do? If you're doing business with a bank or financial institution especially, and they're not using it, go to them and say, look, I have my money with you. I have my accounts with you. When are you going to set up multi-level authentication? And push them to do this, okay? So you have to take charge and tell the organization that's handling your account that they should be doing this. Give them a time limit. Be aggressive with them. Say, look, you have 60 days to do it. I'm moving my account. All right. And this is when, again, you have at least two forms of verification, such as a password and then a security question before you log in any sensitive account, and then maybe another PIN that's sent to your mobile device, okay? Have strong password generator. So critical. Huge. Having them stored. See, because you're not going to be able to remember them. If you have a strong password generator, you're not going to be able to remember them. We have an advertiser on the show strong password generator, it will keep them for you as well. That's very, very important. That's your best defense against digital threats, is strong passwords. If you have a strong password, you are ahead of the game, let me tell you. You're in a single percentage of people so far that's using something, you know, so strong that it just can't, you know, can't be breached. Then you could change it, because if you have a generator, you just go in there and change it once in a while, okay, and update it. And it really becomes, I use one, and I could tell you, it's a lifesaver, because I have some passwords that are 30 characters long with, you know, lower and uppercase characters, and then also special characters, so you just don't have, you know, just your numerical or alpha. You've got both, then you have special characters, so definitely do that. Get away from free emails once and for all, especially if you're a business listening in and an organization. Get away from them. Even if you have your own domain, make sure you know where that server's located, okay? Do a check on that. So those are some things you could do. And obviously, Google again is preying on these Androids. Don't download third-party apps, all right? We're going to get into our guest here, Kerry Parker. Right now.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Well, it's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a lineup of great content back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
Are you tired of having to remember all your passwords? Wouldn't it be nice to have all your important files, usernames, and passwords in one secure location? Finally, there's a solution for homes and enterprises. SwissSafe will store and protect all your files and passwords using military-grade encryption. SwissSafe is the preferred online digital vault for Swiss financial institutions such as UBS, Allianz, and AXA Winterthur. Create ultra-strong passwords that you never have to remember again. Send files securely to anyone at any time. Use a patented data inheritance feature for your beneficiaries. For more information, visit MySwissSafe.com. That's MySwissSafe.com.
So with us today to discuss this mess with Google and the Android, the Googlegan hack, and the Android software, the pre-installed software that is on 700 million devices, is Kerry Parker. And Mr. Parker is a software engineer, cybersecurity expert, and published author of the book Firewalls Don't Stop Dragons, a guide to computer security for non-techies. His primary goal is to help everyday non-technical people and small businesses to understand how to be proactive in securing their computers and protecting their online privacy. We've posted your email and your phone number on our website for our listeners to go to. But also, I know that you have a weekly newsletter. Tell us a little bit about your newsletter.
Well, it's sort of a kind of continuation of the book. The book has a lot of good information in it, but it, you know, obviously the security stuff changes all the time. So I wanted to have some sort of a venue to keep people updated. I know a lot of my target audience is not going to be Twitter users or things like that, where a lot, you know, we may get a lot of our, you know, fresh flash info. So I wanted to have at least once a week, kind of check in and have people, you know, throw out some tips or some timely information about things like the Googlegan thing we're talking about now. In fact, I'm working that one up for tonight's newsletter.
Nice.
And I try to keep it really short and sweet, but to the point, and provide links, for you to go further if you need more info.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah, it really is. I think you're doing a good job on it. Yeah, I read it, I receive it, and I think it's good because, like you said, I mean, it's short and sweet is good. Some people sometimes, we get busy, and it's like, okay, I want the information, but man, I can't go any further this time or today, maybe next time. But then a week goes by, and then you get another newsletter, and then this time you're like, hey. Now I'm going to take the time to go a little deeper. I know others have to feel the same way. So I like that format of what you're doing there. So keep up the good work. Doing great.
Thanks.
And we appreciate you being on the show, so thank you. And we've been discussing the Gooligan. Nasty. It's like a nasty word. Yeah, it's just like some
character. Who comes up with the names?
Who comes up with these names? It's like a character in a Batman movie or something. Gooligan hackers. And this big theft of the accounts, hitting them with the malware, the Google Androids. I think it was like 74%. Of all Android. I mean, that's a big percentage right there.
Yeah, 74% of Android users are vulnerable to this particular attack. They over a million accounts have been hacked, but potentially up to 74%. And the reason, because it finds the vulnerabilities in the older versions of Android, and there are so many of them still out there because of the nature of the Android marketplace, where a lot of users can't upgrade to the latest and greatest. So if you've got, you know, ice cream sandwich or jelly bean or Kit Kat or lollipop, which is, you know, there's that's 74% of the market, you're potentially vulnerable to this.
Oh, gosh. All right. And we'll get into the solutions, you know, or at least some, before people start throwing their phone right out their, you know, car as they're going down the street right now. And cause wrecks. But don't do that. We're going to give you some suggestions on what to do. I mean, you know, because people are like, well, I'll just ditch this and then get a Apple. And then I'm like, and then I'm just reading a report on how Apple is storing users' data, even when the cloud backup is turned off. I'm like, there's nowhere to hide. We can smash the Android, get an Apple, and then it got this problem. So, I mean, it's obviously it's hitting everywhere and everybody. So let's go a little bit deeper into this. The 1 million accounts, up to, as you said, 74% of these devices. So it's a malware. Is that what it is?
Yeah. So it's pretty complicated, actually. You always got to give creds to these guys because it's very clever. It's a series of steps that these guys take. So one way or another, you need to get this malware on your phone. And there's the two popular methods are either going to a third-party app store, not to the Google Play store, but it's one of the third-party app stores. Those are very popular because either there are a lot of free apps or apps that you can't find on Google Play. You know, that's why people go there. So you download some of these, you know, one of these apps that happens to be infected, or because of a phishing scam, maybe you click on a bad link. For whatever reason, you get the kind of the shim, the kind of the foot-in-the-door app first. And that creates a beachhead on your device. And at that point, the malware looks at your phone, figures out what kind of phone it is, because, you know, depending on what version you have, is what exploits it needs to use to get into your phone. So then it talks back to what they call a command and control server. So it's phoning home, so to speak. Talking to the mothership and said, I'm on this device. Here's what I've got going on here. Send me the stuff I need to crack this device. So then it downloads a custom rootkit, which is, you know, some nasty malware that gets full privileges on your device. And once that's in there, it can do whatever it wants, bypasses everything. Now, the weird thing to me at this point is the way these guys are, what they're actually doing is that the malware gets in there and it grabs your Google tokens. Now, these are authentication tokens. And what that means is once you've logged in and you've gone through this kind of handshaking process to do your password or whatever two-factor authentication, Google hands you a token. It's like, this is your magic key. And you're like, if you hold this, and it's only good for a certain amount of time, but you hold this, and whenever you talk to me again, you don't have to go through all the rigmarole. Just show me your token, and then we'll call you good until the next time we need to give you another token. But once you've got root access, these tokens are sitting there for anybody else to grab. So what this malware does is it grabs the tokens, and now it can get into any of your Google apps. That's Gmail, Photos, Docs, Google Play, Google Drive, all these other things that it suddenly has access to. You'd think, oh my God, that's horrible. That's the keys to the kingdom. In a way it is, but what they do at this point, and it could be worse, what they do at this point is they're using your tokens to pretend to be you, to download other apps and click on ads. So what they're doing is they're getting ad revenue. That's how they're making money. They're getting ad revenue or clicking on an ad for an app and then downloading that app and getting credit for, you know, being an advertiser that got you to install an app. And they're kind of making money in the background. It could be doing actually a lot more than what they're doing in terms of harming you. All they're really doing in the background so far, and I say so far because, you know, they could change it any minute, or someone could copycat that and then do some really bad stuff. But what these guys are doing are making money by pretending to be you and clicking on ads and installing apps that give referral money. And that's how they're making money. They're making a good money doing it. But so, you know, so it's very clever. They're making money doing it. could be worse, but it's still not good.
It's all about the money. And I said earlier in the show, it was over $300,000 a month.
Yeah,
is what I heard.
Something crazy like that. Yeah, lots of money. And yeah, that's just off from this ad revenue stuff. And they're installing like 13,000 apps. Wow, per week? I don't know. There's a lot. It's crazy.
I mean, and that's as we talk about. You know, you can go to Google Play, but this is not where this is coming from. Correct.
Correct.
Okay.
Currently, Google is saying that they don't know of any apps on the official Google Store, Google Play, that are infected.
And I guess that's the advice. Okay, then, you know, don't install any app that's not Google Play. But people do, and they do it a lot, because like you said, I mean, they can't get everything on Google Play, so they go elsewhere and allow these apps to be downloaded. And I thought, I was reading something earlier the other week, that it was almost 100 apps out there that are malicious in their intent. It was a crazy number. And
86 currently known. And you can go to, and I'll tell you here in a little bit where you can go and find that list of apps. There's already many apps that are known to have this malware in it.
It's just stay away from them. I mean, that's right? That's the advice, is just stay away from those apps. I mean, period.
Certainly, yes. If you have those apps, you know, you could be in trouble. If you want to jump to it, there's Checkpoint is the name of the group that discovered this malware and worked with Google, and they're working with Google to do what they can to mitigate this. So they've actually created a website. If you want to go, it's called Gooligan.checkpoint.com. So Checkpoint.com is the company, and then if you just put Gooligan on the front of that, that's Gooligan. .checkpoint.com, like it sounds, checkpoint. You can put your email address in there, and they will immediately tell you whether or not your address has been one of the ones that's been compromised. And from there, you can also read their full blog, which kind of goes in gory detail about how it works if you care to know. But at the bottom of that blog, there's also the list of the apps they know that are infected, so you can also check that.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of tell you what to do. It's like, okay, if I'm infected, what do I do? And basically you got to wipe your phone. And if you're not comfortable enough wiping your phone and reflashing it and going back to zero, you should probably take it into some certified technician at your cellular store or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and have them help you do that. And then you should immediately change your password on whatever Google account was affected.
Absolutely. No, that's great advice. Thank you for giving that website out. And look, we can give these solutions in the middle, at the end, doesn't matter. You know, so as it comes to us, we give them. So no problem at all. There's really no format for that.
Right.
We want to give the information. We want people to understand how it takes place. And that's what we're talking about here. Because if you and as you're listening, I mean, you've got to know a little bit about what's going on here. The more you know, the more prepared you are to take measures to protect yourselves and your phone in this situation, this Gooligan attack here. All right, so and let's take a little detour here on the mm-hmm. Android, since we're on the Android phone here. Software from a Chinese company was found pre-installed in 700 million Android devices. I mean, that's just enormous. I mean, pre-installed means it was already on the phone when you bought it.
Yeah, already, that's right.
I mean, you know, you didn't have to go to a Google Play and download an app. No, this software was already on the phone. I mean, is this just oversight? And it was Google, because Google owns Android. So was it an oversight on the company? I mean, how does something like this happen?
Well, okay. So let's talk a little bit about the marketplace, because there's a fundamental difference. And it's funny, because it's almost like Mac and PC was back in the day. This is Apple and Google, iOS and Android are kind of following similar patterns. And that is, Apple, love it or hate it, is very much about controlling the entire experience. And part of what comes with that, one of the silver linings to not letting you do things that you might want to do, is that it's more secure, because they control everything soup to nuts. That's hardware and software.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's both a plus and a minus. And a lot of reasons I know my technical friends go to Android is because they don't want to be in that walled garden. They want to do what they want to do.
Sure.
So Android gives you that flexibility, but kind of like the PC market as well, whereas on the Macintosh side, Apple owns both the hardware and the software. So they've got very tight controls and very tight integration between all these things, whereas on Android, it's very fractured. And whereas when Apple came in with the iPhone, they really stuck it to the carriers and the manufacturer. Well, they are the manufacturer. There's only one manufacturer, and they stuck it to the carriers that we will have control of the software of this phone. You put, you know, there's the limitations of the branding on Apple is pretty much in the upper left-hand corner where it says what service you're getting. So when Android came around, I think a lot of the carriers bristling at that were like, okay, we're taking our control back this time. When we do Android, you give us the software, then we tweak it, we'll certify it with you, but then we're, you know, we get to change it how we want it. And Verizon and AT&T, they put their own software on there as well, and that includes Chinese manufacturers. So you get both the manufacturers and the carriers having a chance to doctor that software. And, you know, you can argue whether or not that's good or bad, but with the end result of that is it breaks the chain of updates. So now if you want to update your software, which you should always do, now you have to get your carrier's permission or the manufacturer's permission to allow you to do that. And a lot of them just don't do that, which is why so many Android phones are stuck on these really old modes because the users have no choice. They can't update them. So that's one aspect. Right. That's one aspect where Android has it's really behind the eight ball compared to iOS. I don't want to say one's better than the other. I'm just saying that in this instance, that is the facts on the ground where Android is just it's hard for them to be as secure given the marketplace for Android phones. So there's that. And then Apple never really does a low cost thing. You know, they just don't really go for that market. Whereas in Android, because it's much more open, and just like in the PC market, you can get a really cheap PC. And if that can be great. That allows a lot of people without resources to have those things that might not otherwise be able to happen. However, as soon as you start cutting corners like that, a lot of the corners that are cut are security. And then when you're getting these things from overseas and manufacturers that you can't really keep tabs on, certainly Google can't police all the manufacturers and carriers, and that allows some of these companies to kind of get away with what they want to get away with. It's a quality control that's not there because the market is just so fractured and huge.
That makes total sense. And so Google, and I haven't researched this thoroughly at all yet, so Google is coming out with another phone, and it's like, what's it called, the Pixel? Google Pixel?
Yes.
And do you know much
kind of
about that phone?
The Nexus. Well, that's an instance where I think it's Google's kind of answer to this problem is they're frustrated because they've got all these cool new features and things, including security fixes, but also features that exercise Google applications and new services that they want you to be able to use, and they can't get it to everybody. They've got all these millions of phones out there, but they can't get it to their people. So I think they're finally saying, you know what? Okay, so we're going to do our own phone now. We are going to make the hardware, and at least in this case, like the Pixel or the Nexus, we will have full control, and we'll be able to get straight to our customers the stuff that we want them to handle.
So this is more about a control. It's a control issue with this, the new phone they're coming out, it sounds like.
I'm sure there are other financial issues, but in my view, I'm not a Google industry expert or a financial expert, but my personal take on this is I'm sure that part of the reason they're doing this is the frustration they feel of not being able to directly control the software that's on their devices. Because their name is associated with it. It's an Android phone, everybody thinks Google, they get a bad rap. And so, you know, so from PR and those kind of perspectives, they want at least a device on the market that will be a cutting edge, always have the best and latest and greatest on it, and that will be their flagship.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll keep a close eye on that phone, and I'm sure we'll have to do a show about that in the future, I'm sure. There'll be a reason, I'm sure. Knowing Google, we definitely will. But as far as giving listeners advice, you know, and some tips, in closing, in terms of this type of situation, you've already given one on how to I guess check the apps, or it'll give a list of the apps, the website you gave on Checkpoint.
Yes. If you on that webpage, you'll get to the blog where it explains everything, and at the bottom of that blog is a list of at least the current known apps. And as far as other tips, general tips, just smartphone hygiene. Like everything, anything you have that has software on it, you should keep it up to date. Number one. And to my point earlier, there are some situations with people with Android phones that just they won't be able to do that. But if you can, do. avoid installing third-party app, you know, installing apps in third-party app markets. I know it's tempting. I know that there's probably a lot of stuff that you can't find on Google Play that you want to put on your device.
Yes.
You can do that. Just understand that you're letting down your guard, and who knows what you could be bringing in. So the things that are on the Google Play Store may be limited, more limited, but at least they're curated, and they have Google ostensibly backing these things and saying that they're safe. You should also, along the same lines, there's a setting in your Android device under settings called Allow Unknown Source Installation. I would turn that off. That basically bypasses the check.
Where do we find this? I don't have an Android, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have that in front of me either. It's under settings.
Okay. Settings, okay. Yeah. Good enough. They'll find it. Good. So they go settings, and then they just disable that feature altogether. That's great advice right there.
Yeah, under settings apps, I believe. And of course, that may be different depending on them. That's one problem I have with Android is that, you know, there's so many versions out there that the location in one version is different than another. But I believe it's under settings and then apps.
Got it. Good. Anything else?
I think those are the main ones. That's the main advice I would give you. Obviously, regular things apply. Be careful you get links from people you don't know. If it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Mm-hmm. Don't click on it.
Those sort of things.
Don't click. Yeah. And especially right now, I mean, here we are at Christmas time, we're bombarded all year long, and then Christmas time it's even more because people are on the internet more. They're shopping on the internet. Everybody's on the internet shopping right now, especially between now and, you know, this next week is a huge shopping week. There's a scam on Beware We Could Not Deliver Your Parcel scam has a malicious link in there. That one's been around for a few years. I know that. It's just circulating back around, and you know, people fall for it over and over again. That's why they keep putting it out there, the same verbiage, because it works. You know, and that's what we have to remember. I mean, that's these people. You know, it's all about what works and what drives this is the monetary aspect of it all. But they're going to use. And that's why you may think, well, yeah, we've seen this. Oh, I saw this 3 years in a row. But other people haven't. You know, the millions of other people haven't. And so that's why that you keep recirculating it.
Social engineering. Go ahead.
Have you heard anything else that's, given the Christmas season right now, heard anything else out there in your neck of the woods? We could warn.
No, I haven't heard anything of a particular other than that certainly this is the season for these kind of things to arise to ramp up. It's everyone's busy. They're doing a lot of shopping.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect time to be doing this sort of things. And the point I was going to make is that the weakest link in security in many cases is you. That is the human.
That's right.
And the person between, you know, at the keyboard or at the phone, because social engineering. Remember the "I love you" virus that went around. It was so simple, and yet it was perfect. It was a marketing thing. It knew how to grab you and cause people to open it. And it's so, you know, you got to be careful. And this time of year, it just, for whatever reason, it seems to be the worst time for this sort of thing.
It's magnified. You know, the threats are magnified.
Absolutely.
You know, I can remember. This is years ago in a mall in Chicago. At the time, I was living in Chicago, and I was with a friend of mine, and she had her purse with her, and I was facing her the whole entire time. I never got up from the table. We just eating lunch, and we never got up from the table, and somehow, while we were there, because she got her wallet out. All right, at lunch, I saw it. I saw this happen. And it's like I sneezed and looked left for a second, and then somebody literally came by and took her right out of her purse. I mean, I just never forget that. And I bring that up because that's exactly what's happening on the internet now. I mean, yes, it still happens physically. You know, so you physically you have to be careful out there, absolutely.
Yep.
But digitally... it's even worse because you don't see it. Just like I didn't see this physical action of somebody taking her, I call it a wallet. It was in her purse, for crying out loud. Women don't have wallets. Men have wallets. Okay, that's a correction. Her pocketbook. Well, that's it. Her pocketbook.
And it's so funny you say that, though, but the exact same thing happened to a friend of my wife just 2 weeks ago. She was at a meeting with some friends. They all went out to lunch together to listen to each other speak as a group. They get together every week. Somebody at the end of the table had their purse over their chair. At the end of the thing, went to go get their purse, realized that only the credit card was gone. Everything else was still there. This person had managed to get in the purse, get in the pocketbook, take out just the credit card. And by the time she had called it in, they were already doing a shopping spree in the mall at Macy's. And it just took that long. So here's another tip for Christmas. Use credit cards, not debit cards. Because if they hit your debit card, that money's gone and you have to get it back. If it's a credit card, at least then you haven't paid the bill yet. You're not actually out the money. And honestly, credit card companies are very good at finding fraud. They will often find it before you do.
Yes.
So that's another tip for shopping at Christmas time. Whenever possible, use a credit, not a debit card.
Absolutely. And with these threats, the ghoul again, the malicious apps, obviously we have ransomware rearing its ugly head all the time. These attacks are a nightmare for people. They're losing money. They're losing irreplaceable photos, important documents forever with this stuff. And here's the thing I want to talk about as we end this call. You know, we have all of us have different number of people in our households, but say we're all on the same plan, okay? And we have kids at college, and you know, we can't always control what our kids at college are downloading, but they come home with that phone and they connect to our Wi-Fi. And we spoke about this last time. Everybody needs a reminder on this, because this is exactly what's happening right now. People are coming home from colleges in this example. Friends and family are coming over to your home. They all want to, you know, what's the first thing they say after Merry Christmas? What's your Wi-Fi password? It's like in the top three.
If they wait that long,
right. Oh, good to see you. What's your password? You know, I mean, it's just, you know, you should just post it on the outside of your house. Here's my password, everybody, you know, because you don't care about me. Here's the password. But anyway, let's go ahead and because you gave such great advice last time, go ahead and give it again in regards to this, because here we are in the midst of this season. So, go ahead and shoot.
Well, one of the things, as I said last time, is most routers today have the ability to set up a guest network. So you've got your main network, which is, you know, Terry's cool network or whatever your home network is, where all your trusted devices are on. But not only just people, but devices. So I recommended that you put your Internet of Things devices, your networked, your Alexa, your Siri, your Google Home, these are your toaster or whatever it may be that wants to get on the internet. Put those things and your guests. And it sounds like in your case, you might want to. My kids haven't gone to college yet, so I haven't had to deal with this. But that sounds like a good idea. Have your kids be on your guest network too, because who knows? Because once they're in your home and they're on your network, it's a Trojan horse. So they are in your home. You've invited them in. They can now access anything that's on your network. So keep it segregated. Put them on create a guest network and put them on that guest network.
Excellent. That's exactly what everybody needs to be doing right there. Carrie, we appreciate you being on the show. We really do. You're giving such great advice and really strong. Go ahead and plug your website again and maybe your email. Go ahead and do that as we end, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, you can go to firewallsdontstopdragons.com. That is my website. You can find information there in my book. I have a blog that I do every so often. More than likely, once a week, I like clockwork, will send out a very short, too long, didn't read version of a newsletter. You can sign up for that on my website as well. And my contact information, all that should be found on that same website.
Awesome. Hey, thanks a bunch, Carrie. Thanks for being on the show once again, and we'll look forward to having you back in the future in 2017.